This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. A man may say a word, not realizing what he is saying. Hence, because of that word he said, he will be led into the dungeons of damnation. Subhanallah, one single word can lead an individual to eternal gardens of terror. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. You consider it a little thing, but with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala it is extremely heavy, great. This lump of flesh that we are talking about, known as the tongue, is a ferocious, savage beast that can cause major destruction and major damage if unleashed, if untamed. This is why Ali ibn Abi Talib said beautifully, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, its mass is small, but its sin is great. And the great Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, if there is anything that is worthy of incarceration, prolonged incarceration, it is no other but the tongue. Subhanallah. You know, we all like to exercise, correct, Yusuf? So we can lose weight. It's a natural desire of human beings to look fit. So you eat the right food, you train hard, and you lose weight. But the thing that we need to lose weight in is between these very two lips. If words could be measured in weight on a scale, let us say we speak 150 kilos a day. And unfortunately, we speak more than that. Let us have a diet, or do a diet to our tongues. Put it under a diet and speak only 20 kilos a day or 30 kilos a day. And then your tongue will be slim. It'll be rich. It'll be healthy. But when you just let it eat anything and everything by speaking your desire, it becomes fat in sin. And this is the situation of humans. Subhanallah, 2 days ago, before we actually start the lecture tonight, a brother was talking to me. And as he was speaking, he said the F word. I said, Subhanallah, ya akhi, if only you knew what you just said. He goes, Shaykh, it's cool to swear. That's what he said to me. It's cool to swear. Is it really cool to swear? I said to him, understand this and only this. I said to him, Naru Jahannam, the fire is far from being cool. I said, the whole fire is far from being cool while you are saying it's cool and mature to swear. Is it really cool to swear? To use the F word? Or the S word? Or the every other devilish word? It's cool? I'd rather be cool there and not cool here.
Wallahi. I'd rather be cool in the next life and not cool in this life. May Allah protect us, inshaAllah ta'ala.
We're going to start, inshaAllah, Khaliqu Azza wa Jal tonight. And there are many, many points that we would like to discuss. So we would try, inshaAllah, as much as possible to minimize the talk about them. As you can see, there is a list that I will be discussing tonight. Hence, every week, I will give you a new list until we finish our series, inshaAllah ta'ala. You can see tonight, we initiate with the first one called cursing. Now, cursing is almost a word that is so fresh on our lips and our tongues that we do not even know we're saying it. Especially amongst the Arabs. I'm not sure about the other races, but the Arabs, yil'an, yil'an, yil'an. SubhanAllah, take it easy and relax. No, yil'an. They get angry, yil'an. If only they knew and we knew what this word means. When you curse somebody or something, you are actually saying, Ya Allah, do not bestow your blessings, your mercy on this individual or on this thing. Which in reality means, don't let them go to paradise. Because the only way that we enter paradise is through Allah's mercy. Understand this. So you're asking Allah to deprive this individual or this thing of His mercy. And that's a serious situation. Now as we see, there's a picture of a person drinking alcohol. Now are we allowed to curse the sinners? Is the question. In Islam, understand this, and I see this many a times, where a person sees another brother committing a major sin, whether it's alcohol, whether it's going, promiscuous behavior, whatever it may be. So he's quick to judge and he says, Yala'anak, Allah curse you. How can you do this? This is unacceptable. We are not allowed to curse a specified individual without a clear text from the Quran and from the Sunnah. There is a hadith that mentions that the Prophet ﷺ one day was punishing a woman for the sin of adultery. And we know adultery is a very, very massive sin. It's great in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet this individual was being punished for it. So the expiation, we say, is there. Now when this lady was being punished, some of her blood spurted on the great Saifullah, Khalid ibn Walid. And he did not like that. Her blood being stoned through and hit the great Saifullah. And he insulted her, swore at her, cursed her. And what was the response by the great teachers of all? Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Ya Khalid, be gentle. For wallahi, she has repented a repentance that would suffice 70 members of Medina. He didn't say, may Allah curse her, destroy her. No, don't curse her. She's repented. We as Muslims, when we see someone committing sin, we don't go and curse them. Who are you to curse anyone? We ask Allah to guide them. Cursing a believer, as the hadith says, is like murdering him, killing him. It's akin to destroying his life in this world and the next. So we are not allowed to curse anyone. In fact, the person that curses, see, this is the thing that we don't realize. That many a times we throw these utterances as though it is nothing, not realizing that the utterance we are saying may fall back onto you. as mentioned in a beautiful narration collected by Abu Dawood on the authority of Abu Darda, he said that Muhammad said, when a person curses somebody or something, that curse travels to the heavens, the curse that you utter, and it tries to enter the heavens, but the heavens do not let the curse enter. It rejects it, rejects the curse. So the curse comes back to the earth, and likewise, it finds the gates of the earth locked. Does not let it enter. So the curse is stuck between the heavens and the earth. So it goes to the right, it goes to the left. There is no entry for it. So where does it go? It's got to go somewhere. The curse has been uttered. So it goes to the one or to the thing that was cursed. If they deserve the curse, what happens? It falls onto them. They are cursed. But if they do not deserve the curse, where does it go, Ya Amr? It goes back to the person who uttered the curse. Can you see the damage in this? So in fact, you may be the recipient of that which you are uttering. This is the destruction of words. Wallahi, we really don't think. We don't pay any thought to what we are saying. This word, yala'anak, yala'anak, or may Allah curse you, or damn you. Another word, which is akin to cursing. You don't say, damn this, damn you. Why, Ya Awad? Because damn means what? You are likewise condemning that person to hellfire. Damn means also curse. So don't say, damn this, damn you. And we hear this all the time from brothers and sisters. It is a major sin. If you say that word, exactly the same scenario occurs. It will travel to the heavens, to the earth. It will look for an entry. It will not find an entry. And if that person you damned or you cursed, they do not deserve it, well, you're going to suffer with this curse. Nasallallahu al-afiyah. You get other situations. You're writing something. As you can see, there's a pen there. You're writing something and you do a mistake. Yalla an al kalam, you say. Curse this pen, damn it. This is haram. This is haram. Or for example, something happens to you in the day and you get angry. So what happens? You curse the time. You curse the time that Allah created, and it's the fate, the qadar wa qadar, that Allah has placed in it for you. So be very, very, very careful. Don't allow your tongue to ever use the word curse or damn and its likes. It is an absolute major sin to utter this word. Now, generally, you are allowed to curse. May Allah curse the disbelievers. May Allah curse the oppressors. May Allah curse the sinners. May Allah curse the liars. May Allah curse the evildoers. No problem. That's allowed. It's in a general sort of concept. Specifically, no, you are not allowed to curse anyone or anything. I hope that's understood, inshallah. If there are questions regarding any points, you ask me after the lesson, inshallah. Pointing, as you can see, is definitely haram. You can see that poor little fella with his hands on his face or his head being poked by the pointer. What does it mean? To ridicule, to disgrace, to belittle, to degrade someone by mentioning his defects or deficiencies. Haram. And we get this all the time. Subhanallah, di khalaqna. Who created us? Like, honestly, who created us? Ibrahim, who created you? How did you? Did you create yourself with red hair? With red beard? Red shirt? I don't know my red shirt.
to go with the style, is it? Tabarak. Daikum.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all of us. How? The way He wants to.
Short, tall, intelligent, dumb. He created us differently. Different tongues, different looks.
So how can you blame that person for the way he looks? How can you ridicule or disgrace him for the way he looks? Did you know by doing that, what are you doing? You're actually saying that Allah's creation is no good. Because He is the one that created you.
So be very, very careful not to ridicule or disgrace or degrade anyone. Anyone. It is the way Allah wanted them to be in their looks. There's a beautiful narration where Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to marry Safiyyah.
Now Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha bint Abi Bakr ibn Abi Quhafa radiallahu anhum jami'an. She, out of her natural jealousy, was not happy about this marriage. She did not want him to marry Safiyyah, naturally. Which woman would like her husband to marry another woman? She was a human being. She was a woman. Out of her natural jealousy, she did not want him to marry another woman, named this time Safiyyah.
So he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asked her about Safiyyah. Ya Aisha, what do you think about Safiyyah?
She said, Ya Rasulullah, she's a great woman. Spoke beautifully of her. But,
I wish that but wasn't there, huh? But, she made a gesture. In other words, she said something with a signal. She said, she is short. What'd she say? She is short. When he heard that, sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
See that little word, that she is short. Look what he said about it. She didn't say, nah, she's this or she's that, and she started throwing nonsense at her. No, one basic word, she is short, with a signal.
He said, Ya Aisha,
if that word was a drop, and it was thrown into the ocean, it would stain the whole ocean.
Allahu Akbar.
Stain the whole ocean, that little word.
Can you imagine what we do today? We don't only say words, we say books of words. If it can be written, would there be any oceans left to fish or swim in? I don't think so. If only, wallahi, we knew.
So you can see that poor little guy, he's almost getting clobbered by the other one. Because he's probably, you know, not of his caliber. MashaAllah. Number three. Nicknaming. You can't probably see it clearly, but it's nicknaming is haram. Now, nicknaming here, when it means to insult or defame another person. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. Nor defame one another, nor insult one another by nicknames. Now, in our society, in our social gatherings, wherever we go today, it's full of personal insults, personal nicknaming this person, that person, of character assassination. Whereas us Muslims, we are prohibited. We are not allowed. Understand this, Ya Ikhwa. Wallahi, what I'm trying to deliver to you guys is for my benefit and yours. Understand what I am saying tonight and the nights to come, inshaAllah. You protect yourself from this nonsense, this shaitan, in essence, you will be saved. You will be saved, as the hadith says. You guarantee me what is between this, I guarantee you Jannah. So don't take this lightly. Understand it. In our gatherings today, that's all we see. Us Muslims are prohibited from uttering nicknames. that involve insults or defamation. They say it's only a nickname. No. Does this person like to be called by this? If he does not, it is haram to call him by it. Understand that. You are not allowed to name anyone, that's Islamically, with a name that he or she does not like. And if you do so, you are committing a major sin.
Wallahi.
But how many of us are deaf, dumb and blind? We listen and we don't care. Wallahi, that's our problem. Another narration, likewise, regarding this great mother of believers, Safiya again. Safiya, radiallahu anha, her camel became ill. So Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to his wife Zainab, and she had two camels. How many camels? Two. He said, "Yeah, Zainab, Safiya's camel is ill. Can you please give her one of your camels?" And she got angry. Had a jealousy, natural jealousy. She said, "I'm not going to give it to that Jewess." What did she say? "I am not going to give it to the Jewess," because she's a she was from the children of Israel. She was a Jew. She said, "I'm not going to give it to her." And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got very angry. It's been mentioned that he abandoned her for more than 2 months for that one statement. Can you believe that, ya akhwati al-a'izzah? One basic statement, but the gravity of it is not basic, it's severe. If only but we knew. What are we for? What does the word innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa mean? Brotherhood. We are the mirror of each other, not the destruction of each other, but the mirror of each other. If I see Yusuf, for example, in a state of displeasure or something that is no good on him, okay, Yusuf, you know, you got to be careful, there's something on your head. Remove it, it looks a bit funny, for example. I advise him, because I'm his mirror. Oh, you know, I see him doing something wrong. Yusuf, you know, it's better not to do this. I don't go and publicize or degrade or disparage or belittle or ridicule him. As the other hadith says, if a Muslim sees faults in his brother or sister, he removes it. Not publicizes it or ostracizes him or hates him or warns against him. He removes it for whoever covers the faults of his brother. In this world, Allah will cover the faults of him on the next. Allahu Akbar. This is Islam. This is Islam, ikhwati al-aisa. Aha, this is an interesting one. This is a what? Ya Ibrahim? An interesting one, correct? Allahu musta'an. What does it say? Beware of calling others a kafir, or you may fall and be one of them. And absolutely correct. You know, today we have a problem out there where people call, this guy is a kafir. He said this. No, he's a kafir. Yeah, take it easy. No. I heard him say it. I read it or I watched it. Nah, he's a kafir. Then you get, sabr. No. He's a fasiq. Yeah, Habib, you just said he's a kafir. He's a fasiq now too. No, he's a dhalim. Dhalim, tasha'Allah. Zindiq too, Allahu Akbar. Yahudi. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. Is there any other word you would like to say? Is there a need for this? Is there a need for this? People think that this word is like fairy floss. You know, light. Wallahi, it's heavier than mountains all together, put together from the face of this earth. And still heavier. There's a narration that was collected by Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari and Muslim al-Hijaj on the authority of the great Al-Faruq Abu Hafs Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said that the greatest men, Sallam said, listen carefully to this hadith, that when a person says to his brother in Islam that you are a kafir, then one of them deserves the title. then what? One of them deserves a title. If the person who accused his brother is not a kafir, then it falls back on the accuser. As the hadith says, if the addressee is as so, as he ascertained, then his disbelief will be confirmed. But if it is not true, then it gets sent back to the person who said it, the accuser. Brothers and sisters, leave that to the scholars. Leave that to the scholars. Today we have people who memorize one verse and one hadith, and they have become not scholars, but professors in Islam. Wallahi. You know, they want to be called Mawlana. Not only Mawlana, they go around judging people, accusing people, labeling people, scrutinizing and stigmatizing people, only because they believe they have become on an exalted position, because they've become devout worshippers. They pray more than this person prays, or fast more than this person fasts, or they know more than more hadith or verses than this person, and he's done a mistake. This person is khalas, he's not a Muslim no more. He's a kafir. That's being judgmental. I'll give you a beautiful hadith that will eliminate this nonsense. There's a hadith that was collected by Muslim ibn Hujaj on the authority of Judnub ibn Abdullah. Listen carefully to this beautiful narration. That Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that someone said, and this someone was a devout worshipper, very close person to Allah, devout, strong in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This devout worshipper said one day about a sinner, he said, by Allah, Allah will never forgive so and so. What did he say? Ya Awad, by Allah, Allah will never forgive so and so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the all-hearing, the all-seeing, heard him, did he not? So immediately he reprimanded him and reproached him, saying, who is he who takes an oath in my name, saying that I'm not going to forgive so and so? Well, know that I have forgiven so and so, and I have rendered your deeds fruitless, nothing. Hadith sahih. Hadith sahih. Yeah, subhanAllah. Why do we judge people? Yahi, judge yourself. Who are you, angelic? Are you an angel? Do you live up top the clouds? Is that where you live? You can see what people are doing and you're judging them? Go home and judge yourself and you'll see how much filth you live in. Stop judging others. Stop labeling people. Stop using this tongue in a noxious, evil way. Kafir, kafir, fasik, zalim, zandik. Subhanallah. This is a major sin. So you can see this person fought because of his worship or his knowledge that he attained a position that is much greater than many others. Hence, he became, or he thought he had the ability to go out there and judge the servants of Allah. Hence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us, saying, who is this person who was saying in my name, taking an oath, that I will not forgive this person? Well, I have forgiven that person and I will punish you no matter how much worship you do. Brothers and sisters, be careful. Be aware. Be aware and let that tongue be fresh. Fresh with that which Allah loves. This is not the behavior of a Muslim. Stop looking at people's faults and look at your own faults. For wallahi, you will write books every night about what you've done during that day and forget what people do. Allah is not going to judge you and say, why did you not judge Ahmed or Zainab? Why did you not judge your own heart? That's what you're questioned about. Despising, tabarakallah. You know what despising is? Looking down
upon others, degrading others, arrogance and pride. You know, you look at you, who do you think you are? I own a bank. What do you own, a shoe store? People do that. They have pride. And in having pride, they despise the supposed lower class individuals. You won't even see him sitting down together. I'm not going to sit with that guy. Look at him. You know, who's he? I'm the suit and the tie and I'm Mr. Money. He's Mr. Poverty. Allahumma astaghfirullah. Inna akramakum inda Allahi atkakum. Don't forget this verse, that the best of you in the sight of Allah are those who are most righteous, those who are most pious. You know, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. He says it beautifully. A'asa an yakunu khayran minhum. La yaskhar qawmun min qawmin. A'asa an yakunu khayran minhum. Wa la nisa'un min nisa'in. A'asa an yakunna khayran minhum. Let not a group, which is of men, scoff or scorn other groups, other men. Maybe the latter is better than the former. Likewise, nor let some woman scorn, scoff, slander, belittle, degrade other women. Maybe the former or the latter is better than the former. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. Not you. And it's a beautiful narration where it mentions that the haughty, the arrogant, the proud, even if they have weight of pride equal to a mustard seed in their hearts, will not enter Jannah. Now when the man or the companions heard this, a man said, Ya Rasulullah, but one of us loves to have beautiful shoes and beautiful clothes. He said, no. Allah is beautiful and loves beauty. He said, pride or arrogance is to reject the truth when it comes to you and to look down, despise others. And how many people do this today? How many people look down at other people because they're not of their same level? Or they think they're more intelligent, more academic, more intellectual, more stronger in everything and anything. Well, this person is just a garbage cleaner, for example. Understand this, ikhwati al-a'izza wa ya akhwat. We, in the sight of Allah, are like the tooth of a comb. Like the tooth of a comb. And the best of us are not those who are higher in the dunya, but who are higher in the sight of Allah. This garbage cleaner who gets up early in the morning and cleans your garbage could be praying before he got up, while you are counting your money before you got up. And believe me, this person is much, 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 much greater than you in the sight of the one that created you. Never, ya ikhwa, ever despise others. Don't look down upon people. Don't ever look down upon people. And one example of this is when today when you know, a young man wants to get married and he goes to the bride, potential bride's house. The father says, oh, what do you do for a living? He goes, oh, I've got this basic job, you know, I'm an electrician or I'm a plumber, whatever it may be. So he starts thinking about the situation, although he could be righteous and he could be a good, pious brother. No, my daughter only marries a doctor or a scientist. Or of that type. This is looking down upon people. That's an example. This is not acceptable in Islam. We look at faith, we look at iman, we look at taqwa to define people. We don't look at what they do for a living. That's how we judge as man, and let Allah judge the hearts of men. Okay, not lying in joke is haram. You know, the you can see the bottom one where they've got the fingers crossed, they all like this, and they say it's true, but behind it, it's a lie. And I'm pretty sure you all, you know, were brought up on this nonsense. Now, what we've got to understand is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strictly forbade lying at all times. But He specifically reproached and reprimanded the individual who lies in order to make people laugh.
And if you look at the society today, in our gatherings, you see this all the time, where people sit down and just throw out jokes, but they're lying. And they say, it's only a joke, relax. Let us have a laugh. Not knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned against this. As the hadith says, woe be on him who speaks and lies to make people laugh. Woe be on him. The gravity of this is extremely severe. Understand this, and I repeat, it is absolutely haram, a major sin, to lie, to speak and lie, even when you're joking. Did you understand that? You are not allowed to joke while it's a false joke. It is haram to do this. You are allowed to joke. Because Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to have a humor. He would play. He would joke around with his companions, with the little children. But as he said in an authentic narration, I only speak that which is true. So the condition of joking around, it must be in truth. You are not allowed to sit down amongst the people and say, let us have a few laughs, and you start creating something or making something up, all this nonsense. You say, it's only a joke. And subhanAllah, people take appreciation in this. And they encourage this deceitful lies, saying it's only amusement and innocent sort of entertainment. And they have even made specific days for this ugly practice. Who can tell me one of them? A pinch and a punch on the first day of the month, correct? You've heard of that one?
Yeah.
Astaghfirullah, have you heard of it?
And April Fool?
April Fool's Day. April. Fool, the one that you ate?
No.
Ma'al basal, mashallah. April Fool's Day. Where there are lies and mocking and jokes and this and that. All in the name of jokes and laughter and amusement. But it is haram. This is not acceptable Islamically, ya ikhwati la izzat wa ya akhwat. So understand that you are not allowed to speak a lie in order to make people laugh. Do you understand that, brothers and sisters? Do you understand that? You know, do you understand the gravity of lying? You know, the hadith says, woe to him. That's a severe sort of warning. It's like woe, in other words, hell to you, a'udhu billah. The damnation to you. So you've got to be very careful. Don't just say, relax, it's only a joke. Don't say things like that. Don't say, because there's many people that cannot take jokes. These lies, how many people have incurred like harm and pain and traumas, wallahi, even death. People are not the same. Like Muhammad may accept a joke, well, Umar will say, I can't stand this, I'm going to start a fight. This is the quality that we have. People are different. Not everyone is the same. People can accept things while others cannot. Fights occur. Problems occur. Destruction occurs from this tongue. So don't say it's only a joke. It's a joke to you, but not to him. It's a joke to you, but not to him or her. So don't take this lightly. Okay, defaming someone's lineage is haram, and these are the acts of pre-Islamic ignorance. As you can see, I'm sorry, you just don't fit in. Why? Because as you can see, this person's probably not from the same lineage. You know, they're from different sort of clans. And we have a beautiful narration that mentions two matters. Are signs of kufr, he said. A sign of disbelief on the part of whoever indulges in them. He said, speaking ill and slandering or defaming someone's lineage and wailing over the dead. Now, what does it mean to defame someone's lineage? It's to insult, to degrade, to disgrace someone because his father is black. You know, you are the son of a black woman, for example. Or you are the son of a blacksmith. Or you are the son of a garbage cleaner. Or you are this and that. You're defaming them because of their lineage. their forefathers. You are the son of an Arab. You are the son of Englishman. And it continues. This is an act of pre-Islamic ignorance. It's from the days of Jahiliyyah they used to do that. And subhanAllah, the hadith says, this will always remain in this nation. So what we've got to understand is that we are not allowed to look at a person's family and say, you are this, you are the child of this clan or individual, I don't accept you. That's defamation. That is haram. We got a beautiful hadith that Abu Dharr al-Ghafari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in an angry state, said to Bilal, the great Bilal, you are the son of a black woman one day. What did he say? You are the son of a black woman. Severe statement. Who created Bilal? Allah Ta'ala created him. Who said white is better than black? Who said this? Who said this? And what makes you say this? By you saying that you are a shaitan. Wallahi. Maybe the black person is much better than you. What, because you got a lighter skin, you are better? A'udhu billah. That's defamation of lineage. A major sin. So Abu Dharr said to Bilal, you are the son of a black woman. And Bilal was very, very upset. And when it reached Rasulullah sallam, he said to Abu Dharr in an angry way, he said, you are a person, a man, who still has traits or practices of Jahiliyyah. Meaning not of Islam, but of the evil days before Islam. And Abu Dharr was very, very saddened by this. And it took him a long time to overcome what he said. He knew and realized he had committed a major sin. And he immediately sought repentance, forgiveness from Bilal. And we do this today. We actually do this amongst us. We look at people differently because of their color, or because of their race, or their lineage, or their family, or their forefathers. Why? Again, why is the question? Brothers and sisters, who created us? Got to understand this important, pointy. Allah created us. He made us the way we are. SubhanAllah, Bilal ibn Rabah, Allahu Akbar. This man, while Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sleeping, he heard his footsteps in Jannah. He heard his footsteps in Jannah. This man that he was called a black man. He was in the sight of Allah, one of the greatest men that existed. In the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first mu'adhin, the slave that stood strong and firm and did not waver like the majority of us today. Under pressure, Allah gave him this great blessing. And he allowed Rasulullah sallam to hear the footsteps of Bilal in Jannah. Allahu Akbar. He said, ya Bilal, how did you beat me to Jannah? For Wallahi, I heard khashkhashataka, your footsteps in Jannah. Allahu Akbar. Doesn't matter what color you are after this. Doesn't matter who you are after this. What you are after this. Listening to this narration. And we have the guts to go and name people and label people and degrade people because of their lineage. So be very careful, ya ikhwatil a'izza. Again, we are not measured by our looks, by who we are. We are measured by this in here, this morsel. Understand this. Number 8. Recounting one's favors is haram. What does that mean? You can tell me. Chaddab.
Tabarakallah. I would love a chaddab.
What does recounting one's favors mean?
Yeah,
Baraka, you're a linguist, Barakallah. In other words, as he said, it means you boast about the favors done to others. And know the narration that mentions that Allah will not look at nor talk on the Day of Judgment to a person that boasts of the favors he's done to others. I'll give you an example. Muhammad, I did something to him as a favor. One day later, I got you, Muhammad. Remember, I did that for you. Don't forget that ever, huh? Don't forget it. Huh? You did it for what? To always remind him and remind him and remind him? Halas! Leave it to Allah Ta'ala and get reward for it. But every time I see Muhammad, yeah, Muhammad, don't forget. I did that for you, remember, didn't you? Are you sure? You going to pay me back for it somehow? That's what we do today. You remind each other the favors that you did for each other in order for what? To get something back. That's called recounting favors. It is haram and a major sin to do that. So don't utter by going to people and reminding them of what you did for them. Do it for the sake of Allah and then do it for the sake of the dunya. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. That's a matter of gold or something. Allahu Akbar. Addressing someone as the king of kings is haram. The crown itself is the biggest shaitan there. Addressing someone as Malik al-Amlaq, the king of kings. You know, I was at a gathering one time and a person believed out of generosity and courtesy and, you know, respect, he called an individual who was of high level, as he believed, ya king of kings, like this. Is this acceptable, brothers? That's a major sin. To call someone the king of kings, the lord of lords, the judge of judges, is not acceptable Islamically. It is in fact haram to call anyone with these names. Why? Because only Allah is Malik al-Amlaq, Malik al-Muluk, the king of kings, the lord of lords, and the judge of judges. And the most disgraceful man, as the hadith says, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one that names himself the king of kings. For there is no king except Allah, as the hadith says. So you are not allowed to name anyone the king of kings. Why do you think that is so, Qusay? What's the sin behind it? What's the reason behind it? Because by doing this, you are committing the sin of naming an individual by a name that belongs only to Allah. You are equating this individual to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that destroys the category of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. So be very, very careful that you do not name anyone by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the Judge of Judges.
Does that make him a shirk?
I have to listen to other Muhammad, huh? Oh, yeah, yeah. It's the policy. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. He's having a good rest. May Allah not bless you, O fever. Reviling fever is prohibited. First of all, as you can see, the cross is haram to have. That's the biggest shirk there, first of all. Now, the issue here is reviling the fever. Reviling a sickness, reviling any disease that may occur. Many of us, when we fall into this predicament, we start slandering that which we have. Why am I sick? May Allah not bless this sickness. May Allah destroy me, you know, this sick. SubhanAllah. It's qada wa qadr and a blessing to be sick. A blessing, in fact, to be sick. Be careful what you say. Because this blessing, this sickness, in fact, expiates your sins. So don't be a person who involves himself into that which will destroy his good deeds and accumulate his sin. Instead, you have a beautiful exit that by being sick, you are erasing the sin and you are accumulating your reward. As that hadith mentions that Prophet ﷺ one day visited a female companion by the name of Sa'ib or Musayyib. So he looked at her and said, Ya Musayyib, or Ya Sa'ib, you are shivering. She was in bed shivering. What is the matter with you? And this is hadith in Muslim Ibn Hijaj collection. She said, Ya Rasulullah, I have a fever. May Allah not bless it. That's what she said. He said, Ya Sahib, don't abuse or don't insult the blessing. The fever is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As it cleanses out the sins of the sons of Adam, just as a furnace removes the dirt of iron. So, understand that when you get sick, this is a reason of blessing for you. It's an expiation for you. It cleanses you out. So don't go crazy and get angry and upset and start reviling or cursing or abusing the sickness or the disease that you may have, and understand that it is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nothing else. Inshallah ta'ala, that is it for tonight. We do have approximately a minimum of 50 items to deliver. So I think we're going to have to go a bit faster in our coming lessons. And as we go along, we learn bi-idhnillah a lot more. But the matter of this is, it's not just to listen to it, but to really, really implement it, inshallah ta'ala. You know, even if you have to write these down, just to remember, it is very important. Wallahi. You know, these sometimes may be a little bit boring as we go along, but the information is very, very, very critical for you as a person in this world, as a Muslim, how to live. Because our whole aim is to guard this tongue. And if we are not guarding it, the devil will envelop it and make it a means of your destruction. So be careful, ya ikhwati al-a'izza wa ya akhwat. Inshallah ta'ala, next week we'll continue with this, and we have probably about 20 items next week. Bi-idhnillah ta'ala. So I'll allow you guys now, if there is time, for questions. فَتَفَضَّلُوا يَا إِخْوَةِ الْأَعِزَّاءِ وَيَا أَخْوَاتِ. May Allah reward you all, inshallah ta'ala. Ya Habibi.